And I own, you know, what do you call them? The president of the United States, his hometown, Chicago. Sign off on it. He going to redouble his commitment to murder. What the murders in Chicago going to double. The murders in this society and in this country going to double. Like, he just playing poker with God. Like, he trying to, you know, show him up or something. Leading all these folks straight into hell. It's not just the preacher that'll lead folks to hell. The leader of a nation. God judges nations. He judges you individually and as a nation. He's not playing. Your leader of this nation sign up on this, it'll be murder in the streets tomorrow morning. Get the body bags ready. Because he ain't playing. He dead serious. God dead serious with what he's saying. You're going to conform to him or perish. You're going to repent or you're going to perish. It's the only two choices we have down here. That's what we surrounded with. What choice are we going to make? There is no other choice. You either serve God or you serve the devil. It's going to be a price. You're going to have a reward either way. It just depends on which reward you want. You can have your reward now, you know, serving the devil. But, I mean, hey, you only going to live, what, 40, 45 years or something. I mean, the rate sin going now. You know what I'm saying? It's almost abnormal to see somebody that's like 80, 90 years old. You'd be like, they old. You know? Because they die so young now. And God says it in his word. I kill your sons and your daughters. Don't mean nothing to God. He loves us, yeah. But he exalts his word higher than his name. You're going to do what I tell you to do. You're going to abide by what I say. Or else. And that's that. It says, amazingly enough, there are abortion specialists in this country who seem to believe that God smiles down on them as they slaughter babies. In a recent letter to the editor of the Des Moines Register in Des Moines, Iowa, medical director for Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, Jill Meadows, wrote, I am an abortion health care provider, and I am proud of what I do. It's a privilege to be a positive presence in a person's life at a time when she most deserves care and compassion. She later went on to write, Planned Parenthood provides evidence-based, compassionate, non-judgmental. See that? Don't nobody want to be judged. Don't nobody want to be told what's right. See, over here, we don't tell you that. We're not judgmental. You know, we don't want to know how this happened. Comfort. That's what people are looking for. Compassion. Not knowing, snatching you out of the fire is compassion. Snatching you out of the grips of the devil is compassion. They don't want that. So she says, Planned Parenthood provides evidence-based, compassionate, non-judgmental, high-quality, affordable reproductive health care. It is time for people who are anti-abortion to stop using terror, lies, hate rhetoric, misinformation, and violence against us. Misinformation? The Bible is misinformation, in case y'all didn't know what she was talking about. Regardless, we will not be bullied and intimidated into abandoning the people who depend on us. Ain't nobody bullying and intimidating you. We're just letting you know what's going to happen. I will continue to follow my God-given calling of being an abortion care provider. Our doors will stay open no matter what. She right. That is God-given calling. She's a vessel of God's wrath. That's what she is. Lest she repent. You a product of your will. You want to be a murderer? You're going to murder. That's what she wants to be. She wants to be a murderer. You have that God-given right. But don't call it God-given calling. No, just say God-given right. Replace calling with right. You just set yourself up to be a vessel of God's wrath. That's what you just did. This woman actually believes that God has called her to kill babies, and she is not the only one who has this warped point of view. Another article written by a young doctor known as Carolyn Payne states, who wants to be an abortion provider? I do. And I don't have a nose ring, or a tattoo. I'm a 5-foot blonde from Ohio, and my last boyfriend was a pastor. You just interviewed an insane mind. Everything she just said was insane. I'm a 5-foot blonde from Ohio. Who cares about that? Nobody asked you that. And my last boyfriend was a pastor. What? Your boyfriend was a pastor. Okay. In fact, my witness, now listen to some more, this insanity talking right here. In fact, my Midwest Christian upbringing is largely responsible for my belief that providing abortion services is one of the most meaningful ways I feel I can contribute to making the world a more fair and equal place for women. Your Christian upbringing. What kind of Christendom is this? Payne later made the claim that performing her first abortion made her feel good. Providing our first MVA, or manual vacuum aspiration abortion, was a feel-good procedure because we had successfully performed an intervention that changed a woman's life for the better. That's the devil talking right there. That's exactly who they were just interviewing, the devil. Every time God was about to make a move, we know what the devil did. He just started killing. Now, here's the devil direct talking. We successfully performed an intervention. What were you intervening? A vessel that was going to be meat for the master to use. That was the intervention. 58 million of them. Perhaps these women have never read Matthew 18:14, which Jesus makes the declaration, "Even so is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." They didn't read that part. So abortion is now the end thing. I mean, it was always in, but it's really the end thing now. So much so that we know that that filthy show, what's it called? Scandal? Yeah, Scandal. So Scandal had a episode where the main character was seen lying down in the medical facility getting undergoing a abortion procedure or whatever, with Silent Night, you know, playing in the background. You know, and then, you know, she's laying there, I guess they doing whatever they doing, you know, slaughtering the baby, you know, the vacuum or whatever it is they doing. Silent Night is playing. And then she hears a voice over from her father. This is what her father said. "Family is a burden, a pressure point, soft tissue, an illness, an antidote to greatness. You think you're better off with people who rely on you, depend on you, but you're wrong, because you will inevitably end up needing them, which makes you weak, pliable. Family doesn't complete you. It destroys you." That's the devil all day long. All day long. He's not even trying to hide what he's trying to do. You take the show Scandal. How many women watch that? Men too, I suppose, I guess. Primetime TV, ABC network. I remember ABC growing up as a little kid. They used to show a whole lot of family shows. You know, Family Matters and stuff like that. You know, every Friday night, 7 o'clock. That was our thing. You know, they had about from 7 to 10 until Dateline came on. You had 3 hours of family shows. You know what I'm saying? Now they're showing Scandal with a woman on the table getting an abortion performed, her daddy telling her family is a burden. Family is an illness that you need to get rid of, because don't nobody want to have an illness. So here's the anecdote. Slaughter it. Don't even get it started. And that's what we got now. And they just talk about it. I mean, they talk about abortion now like it ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just another thing. I had a client, you know, I'm looking through her medical records like, So, you know, I had to ask about her medical history or whatever, and she just rattled it off like it wasn't nothing. And I'm sitting on the phone like, and she laughing about it, like chuckling.
Yeah, you know, yeah, 2012 and then another 2013 and...
Like it's normal. Abortion is normal now. It's the end thing. Being a single mother is normal now. That's why there's rebels running in the street. That's why these kids rebels. Because you got a woman in the household trying to, that's not her role. The man is the enforcer of the house. Any image the devil can destroy, he's going to do it. That's why the family is his target. That's why you try to tell your kids, look, don't follow the crowd. Because a great deal, it's a great possibility that they are bad, that they don't have whole households. We just read it's normal to have a single household. It's normal. It's not normal to have a mother and father in the house. Not only that, it's not normal to have a mother and father that's seeking the Lord. That's definitely not normal. You try to explain that to your kids, you're not going to get away with what your friends do. It's not going, you can try it, but it ain't, you're not going to get away. You don't get away. Because God look at it as, hey, you knew better. Because I know they told you. I know your mom and your daddy told you, because I was sitting right there when they told you. Because matter of fact, I told them to tell you. And you go out and you do it anyway. It's a heavy price to pay. So that's the world's thinking. A man's mind apart from God. You know, we went over the New World, the government aspect, the New World Order, the cashless revolution, the destruction of the family unit. So now let's get off into the religious aspect. You know, you can't touch all those and then not touch the religion. Because religion is really the driving force behind all of this. Because the church is supposed to be the standard bearers. The church is supposed to lead things the way that they should go. Tell people how to live right and what they should and shouldn't be doing. So this article here is talking about a push to unite world religions. So we see the push to reunite just the entire world in general to the same economic system, educational, healthcare. But we need something else, the staple, to really hold it all together. To really tell us that, you know, what we're doing is legit. You know what I'm saying? You can listen. You can trust these guys. So it says, even as the United Nations attempts to unite the world under global governance, efforts are also being made to unite the world's religions. The driving force behind this movement is none other than Pope Francis. Now, you know you can't talk about, you know, nothing false until you talk about the grand master of them all, right? I mean, it's easy to talk about the little guys that we don't know. But you know what I'm saying? You got to go to the main gusto. No, I'm going after the main guy. You chop the head off, the body will die. You know what I'm saying? In recent months, Pope Francis had endeavored to forge a bond between those who identify as Christians. They're not Christians. They just identify as Christian. I'm a tithe-paying member. Here's my card. And those who embrace the Islamic faith. This is evident in a speech given by Pope Francis at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, New York, in September 2015. In the opening remarks of his speech, the Pope said, I would like to express two sentiments for my Muslim brothers and sisters. It's crazy. Firstly, my greetings as they celebrate the Feast of Sacrifice. I would have wished my greeting to be warmer, my sentiments of closeness in the face of tragedy, the tragedy that they suffered in Mecca. In this moment, I give assurances of my prayers. I unite myself with you all. a prayer to Almighty God, all merciful. When we consider this quote, we must ask ourselves which God Pope Francis is talking about. It should be noted that Muslims often refer to their God, Allah, as being all merciful. So, I mean, he embraces the Muslim faith. They want to make it, you know, Chrislam. I think they even got some, like, sanctuaries or whatever, you know, erected for this Chrislam thing that's going on. When we consider this quote, we must ask ourselves, okay, which God Pope Francis is talking about. It should be noted that Muslims refer to their God Allah as being all merciful. To further emphasize the point, during a visit to the Central African Republic in November 2015, Pope Francis told a crowd while speaking at a mosque, Christians and Muslims are brothers and sisters. Christians and Muslims are brothers and sisters. No, they ain't. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, I guess fatherly lineage or whatever. You know, they had Abraham as their daddy, but there's a difference between the two. And that's why Muslims hate Christians. Yeah, Abraham is your daddy, but you're not the child of the promise. The promise wasn't given to you. It was given to Isaac. That's the big conflict right now. So what do they do? What do Muslims like to do? To show that they mad, all it is a kid throwing a temper tantrum. That's all it is. Because they are not children of the promise. It's not given to you. It'll be given to you once you repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But outside of that, you're a bastard. That's it. Read in Acts and in Hebrews. God don't even mention them. He don't even mention Ishmael's seed. You're not even on God's mind. Because the promise ain't to you. I gave it to Isaac. That's how it is. And that's why they hate him to this day. So they throw their tantrum chance and they want to behead you. Cut your head off. Again, destroy the image of Christ. Destroy the image of God. Who knows how many they have now, but I know about 2-3 years ago, the United States purchased about 500,000 guillotines. All under the guidance of none other than Barack Obama, who is a Muslim. I don't care what he says. What do the United States need with guillotines? That's an old, archaic, slow process of killing somebody, ain't it? Nah, we got to destroy that image. We're going to gather all y'all up together and line y'all up one by one. You surrounded. Now what you going to do? You next up. Head under the guillotine. What you going to do? Don't think they're going to let you out. Because then they just look at you as a, you know, you weak. All we had to do was threaten you and you bowed out. They cut your head off anyway, so you might as well go in all the way. Amen. All the way. I believe what Jesus said. I ain't going to experience death. So it don't matter what you do to this body. I won't experience death. By the time the guillotine come down or whatever they use, shotgun or whatever, I'm gone anyway. Thank you, Lord. Live for him. We ain't got nothing to lose. That'll be different. We are peculiar people. God says that. So why are we afraid? Why are we afraid? Or what somebody going to say to us? How they going to react? They might not like me, no. So? Who cares? Because at the end, somebody going to be proven right and somebody going to be proven wrong. Somebody going to have a reward. Somebody ain't. So he says, Christians and Muslims are brothers and sisters. The Pope then joined the mosque imam in a moment of silence while they both aligned themselves to the so-called Islamic holy city of Mecca. And I think they face east, right? So that just lets you know. It's impossible for the Pope to be saved. I mean, to call himself saved. I'm not saying it's impossible for him to be saved. He can always turn around and say, hey, I repent, I'm done. I think that's what happened to the last Pope. Yeah. Everybody went, what happened to the... Man, he got saved for real. And it was like, hey, I'm done. He wasn't in shock, like, hey, this thing is real. Who knows what happened to him? You know what I'm saying? That could have happened to him. Anybody can be saved at any time. But we're looking at you right here, right now. All this is on display. Millions of people is hearing this. Millions of people that's hanging on his every word, that's following him, that are following him to the T. Do whatever he's telling them to do. And he's telling them a lie, sending them straight to hell. He got a whole lot of blood that's going to be on his hands. A whole lot of blood. In the meantime, more stories have surfaced of public schools in the United States promoting Islam. This includes the town of Blaine, Minnesota, which recently held a holiday concert in December 2015. Parents were distressed to learn that one of the songs their children would be singing was an Arabic song about the Islamic holiday known as Ramadan. The song includes the phrase Allahu Akbar, which is translated as God is great. In another incident, students at Riverheads High School in Staunton, Virginia, were given an assignment which they were told was a lesson in Arabic calligraphy. In reality, the assignment forced the students to write out the Islamic statement of faith, of which the English translation is, there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The students were also given an opportunity to try on an Islamic headscarf known as a hijab. So we see the brainwashing that's going on in the schools. The plan is in place. So, I mean, you could basically figure that the one world religion that they're going for is most likely Islam. Otherwise, why would you teach this? They could talk about coexist and all that all they want to, which is another cursed thing. There's no such thing as coexist. It's only one. That's it. One way in. Any other way, you're a thief and a robber. That's what Jesus said. That's how it is. So we see what we are surrounded with, right? That's a whole lot of stuff. I mean, that's a whole lot of stuff, but we didn't even cover a lot of stuff. If that makes sense to you. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole lot of stuff, but we didn't cover a lot of stuff. We had to, you know, pitch tent here or something to go through everything that's going on. But all that, we know that God is in control and he knows what's going on. And everything is happening for a reason, for a purpose. Depending on how long you were saved, of course you can say today is nothing like, you know, when I was, you know, got saved or whatever. But at some point, your life was in torment. All this stuff surrounding you, and you just felt like you was about to break and crumble. We'll either break down with a nervous breakdown or just act out in some type of rage and just, you know what, if I die, so what, if I go to jail, whatever, you know? Because all this stuff surrounding you. Because you lost. You listen to one thing, somebody say one thing, you go to another. Now you were just in a tizzy. Don't know what's going on. So you finally cry out and the Lord come and get you, right? You repent of your sins. You think everything going to be gravy. I'm out. Whew. I'm on the ship. You know, hand me, some wine or grape juice for those, you know, whatever. Right, you know. We're going to, you know, have a good time in the Lord. Everybody just get together and lo and behold, you're surrounded by something else. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 and start at verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had known lust. I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. I always have a hard time with that word. For without the law, sin was dead. So sin was always around, always present, but it was never present or evident until the law came. That's what he's saying. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So sin kills you. Like it tells us in elsewhere in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Sin is death. That's all you can get out of sin, is death. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, the commandment was meant for life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So you read this, you're like, sin. I mean, people think sin is like an act or whatever. It is an act, but sin is also a person. So you got sin just, you know, hanging around or whatever, just looking for the opportunity to do what it does best. To kill. Sin does what it does best, but he had to find the avenue to get in to do what he did best. Kill. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death into me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. So we see now what else we're surrounded by. Just got friends talk about the world and, you know, everything that's going on. You get saved. Now you're surrounded by this nasty flesh. That's appended to this world. This flesh is connected to this world. You can't separate this flesh from the world. That's what he's saying. Because he goes on to say, let's finish reading it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So you see you're surrounded now by your flesh. Now you got another entity that you got to deal with. Just when you thought you were safe, you was in paradise, you was with the Lord, you know me and Lord, you know, play some volleyball or whatever. Yeah. Nah. There's something else that's surrounding you. It's more personal. It's more close now. You wake up with it. You got to feed it. You got to bathe it. That's why the Lord say, look, when your enemy hungry, feed him. You feed your flesh, don't you? So it only makes sense if somebody is your enemy that's on the outside, you might as well feed them. Because you feed and bathe yourself every day, right? Because it's a battle. Now you got to fight your way out of the flesh. And all of his lustful desires, all of his unclean, nasty thoughts, all the things that you picked up from the world that you thought was normal, that they told you was normal, was programmed in the flesh. Now you get saved, and the flesh telling you, what you doing? Now this is how we used to live, and this is what we're going to do. You surrounded by the world atmosphere, now you're surrounded by this flesh. You got to get up and drag around every day. Walk around in. Exercise it, you know. All that. Whatever else you got to do to your body. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to do good, but I can't find a way how to do it. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. You see the conflict and the struggle and the fight that you're going through now? I mean, every saint done been through that. If you haven't gone through that, then you need to be born again for real. Yeah. It's a mind thing. You got to fight so many urges and so many thoughts and so many, you know. Yeah, you can walk out the world and leave the world alone and, you know, be like the monks and close yourself up, you know, for years. But guess who's still there? You still surrounded. I'm going to go away from the New World Order. I'm throwing my cell phone away. My computer's got to go. All the family, we're going to be coming here. Stay cloistered in here. You still surrounded by flesh. The flesh want pleasure. The flesh want to be plugged into the world. The flesh love that stuff. The flesh want the porno. The flesh want the drugs. And here you go, surrounded. You trying to live holy now. Here come your flesh. You just with it all day long. All day. I find then the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So even when I want to do good, evil is still there. To try to mess it up some kind of way. You do a good work for God or whatever, and here come the flesh. You see me? That's flesh. God probably told you to do the thing, and you did it. Now you on the phone. Yeah, because, you know, I had to help so-and-so because, you know, that's flesh. Everything you do, do to the glory of God. Don't let the right hand know what the left is doing. Do it and move on. Who cares? Be obedient. Just do it and move on because there's plenty down the road. You win one battle, you got about 30 more down the road. Just keep moving. Keep it going. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Because remember, we know that the law is spiritual. So the inward man, he delights in the law of God. Because you know what the Lord is really trying to say. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. So there's a law in the members, your flesh, and there's a law in your mind. At war with one another. Because see, the law in the members, by nature, is not going to do what God tells it to do. By very nature, because it's rebellious. My law is rebellion. Like they say, do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. That's the law of the flesh. Yeah. That's the law of your members. Do as whatever feel good, I'm going to do it. But now you got the Spirit of God, the law that's in your mind, warring against that thing. And there's only one way. Somebody, one of them got to go. One got to go. You can't have two contrary spirits living in one house. One got to go. And again, you are a product of your will. Whatever you decide and want, you'll have that. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So that's the law of sin. The law of sin wants you to stay in the flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am. And that's how you feel sometimes, like, oh, I'm just wicked. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We walk around in a body of death. All day you're surrounded by death. You bathe death, feed death. Well, when you're not fasting, you know. You in a body of death. The Bible also calls it a vile body. So he said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So it's a spiritual thing now. So we see all these things we're surrounded with, right? First you were surrounded by the world. Now you're surrounded by the flesh. You got to kill these lustful desires and all this stuff that the flesh was so used to, however long you was in sin or whatever. Whatever it is you did, doesn't matter. Sin is sin. There's a war that has to take place. And all of this is for a reason. Let's go to Exodus 14. It's all in the plan of God. Nothing happens down here, you know, just willy-nilly. It's something that God is trying to bring out of us. It said, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and this is after the Israelites had come out of Egypt. I'm sorry, Exodus 14. This is after the Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. They go into the wilderness, and they're coming up to the Red Sea. He says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it you shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh would say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. So now the Israelites are encamped in this area between the wilderness. They got the sea here, and you got Pharaoh coming here. They surround it. And now Pharaoh thinking, oh, I got them now. Yeah, they tangled up. We got them. Come on, let's get them. And they said, now this is the Israelites. I'm sorry. Did I read verse 10 yet? No, I didn't. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. So here they are. Now they see, look, we got one way out. And here come Pharaoh and them coming through that one way. So they cried out, because they surrounded. They ain't got nowhere to go. They, like the Bible said, they were so afraid. They cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt, still bound up to Egypt? Now here's this man come to liberate and set you free, and you ready to blame him. Man, you just brought us out here to die. I can't believe this. I should have stayed where I was. Stayed a slave and died a slave. Stayed a slave to sin and died a slave to sin. That's what they're saying. Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Go witness to somebody. Nah, yeah, I hear all that, but I ain't into all that. I ain't ready to get right. You're going to die right where you are. But when the Lord sends somebody, you better listen. You never know. You could be on your way home, and that'll be the end. Nah, I want to stay. I'm straight in Egypt. You go ahead. Y'all gone. Y'all go ahead. Go. I'm straight. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. All their lives, for fear of death, they subject themselves to bondage. People afraid. What's out there? Let's go see. We don't got nothing to lose. Why die a slave? You see, they done took all the straws. That's how the workforce is. pay you a penny and want even more production. This ain't good enough. Matter of fact, we got to, you know, lower your raise a little bit too, your salary. But we still expect you to perform there and then go above and beyond now. Who wants to live like that? That's not living. And they telling him, look, it was better for us to do that than to come out here in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Stand still. First and foremost, don't fear. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All this that's going on, fear not. What did Jesus tell us? When you see all these things come on earth, look up. Because your redemption draws nigh. What are we afraid of? Got the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings on our side, fighting for us. And we still afraid. That's crazy. Because we was programmed by the world. The world will program their mind to make you think it's so big and bad. Like they say in Psalms, all the kings and they got together. You know, we big and bad, you know. Who can stand against us? The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. And that's what God's telling us. What are you crying to me for? Go forward. Just walk. I tell folks that all the time. When you're talking to a saint, man, just walk. Who knows what the Lord is going to do? Just walk. If he told you to walk, walk. Obviously, he told you to walk for a reason. I remember when we moved down here. It'll be 2 years in September. And I know that, you know, the Lord had called me to be down here. For what purpose, I don't know. I still don't know. I'm still, you know, walking, figuring that out. But I knew that I was supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying? I remember we went to our first conference. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember getting off the plane, waiting on my bags. And I remember the Spirit saying, this is ground zero. And I knew then, like, oh, this the hot spot. No, this is where you want to be at. You know, in the fire where everything going to pop off at. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want to be around just, no, let's go ahead and get this over with. So I came down here, you know, like I said, 2 years in September. You know, we had all kind of obstacles. I mean, to the point, we just got to the point where we just said, you know what, let's just go. Ain't had no money saved up. You know, we barely had, you know, the little townhouse we in now, we barely had that. Then the little extra money that we was going to have, you know, the landlord called, you know, oh, I need another month. So that was all our money there. We was shot, had nothing. But at that point, my mind was made up. You know, it's like when you when the Lord tell you to do something, you in a place, it's like everything is, it don't matter what happened. You know what I'm saying? We going. I remember my wife always asking me, how we going? Well, how we going? And I had one answer for her. I don't know. She'll tell you, that's true. I don't know. All I know is I'm going. I don't care what happened. I'm just going. You know, got the truck loaded up and all that good stuff. No gas money to get the truck down there. You know, but the Lord worked it out. You know what I'm saying? We had a moving truck and my wife's vehicle. Coming from, you know, Indiana, which is a 12-hour drive. She filled up one time. Too bad it ain't going like that no more, but you know. You know what I'm saying? We filled up before we came down here. And when I finally said, let's just go ahead and put some more gas in there. It was only a half a tank. And we only had like 2 more hours to drive. I was like, let's just go ahead and put some more gas in there. Got down here because the plan was, you know, look, we gonna get down there some kind of way. I don't care. This is going to be the plan. I'm going to set you and the kids up down there. because I was still working in Indiana. I'm just going to come back up here, work until I can find something down there. Then, but look, we're going to get down there. So I had, you know, two interviews lined up, you know. And it was the day before I had to go back to Indiana. I remember talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, look, my family need me. They need me here with them. I can't go back there. Went to the interview that morning, you know, packing up, getting ready to head back. I'm still talking to the Lord. Lord, I know you sent me down here. My family need me down here. They need me. Got a call that afternoon. I got a job. I didn't have to come back. I didn't have to go back to Indiana. So I just tell people, just walk. Just go forward. That's what God's saying. Go forward. Walk. Stay under the blood of Christ. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. Stay in fasting. Keep warring against this flesh. The flesh is so subtle. He's so smooth. He's going to always tell you, no, that ain't going to work. No, you should just lay low and, you know. But what if? What? Well, what if that don't work, though? What? And that's your flesh. A lot of times we like to attribute it to the devil. Now, sometimes it's the flesh. Because you were so rejected before the Lord called you. All you know is rejection. So what's your flesh? Your flesh is programmed rejection. Well, what if? Well, they ain't going. I doubt if they. Just walk. Just go forward. You surrounded anyway. Why not charge it right at it? You know, like in the old, you know, I like the old way they used to fight. I don't like this new stuff, this chemical warfare and, you know, I'm going to blow you up for my country and you 2,000 miles away. I don't like that. I like when they had the swords and they marched. Forward! And, you know, everybody just, that's my kind of fighting. You know what I'm saying? That's my kind of fighting. Forget all this new junk they done came up with. But like I say, we surrounded, y'all. We ain't got nothing to lose. Let's just go forward. Charge in. Charge in and snatch out as many folks as you can. That's what it's all about. That's all we can do. That's what God called us to do. So, I mean, it is what it is. So let's close it out at Romans 8. Surrounded by oppression and depression and so many people on pills and like I say, when we read the word of God, we got to believe it. God can't lie. He's not going to lie. He can't lie. Read his word and believe it. Walk in his word. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the law can only be fulfilled in the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's why the Lord tells us, he rambled off a list of things that we should keep our mind on. High things, things that are above heaven. Don't think of anything down here. All you're doing is feeding the flesh. Who cares what the world is doing? Who cares what somebody said? Who cares how somebody's dressing? They're doing exactly what they are. There's no need to comment on it. There's no need to elaborate on it. There's no need to, you know, whatever they do, have studies on it, rap, hip-hop. And they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. That's like examining a dog. A dog gonna be a dog. Why are we examining him? We need to go up higher, go up further. That's the only way we're going to get out of this. So you're surrounded, right? There's only one way for us to go is what? That's all God is saying. Go up. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, is hostile against God. It hates God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible to please God in the flesh. Because the flesh is void of what? It's void of the spirit, but it's also void of faith. I only believe what I see. That's what people tell you. I see it. I believe it when I see it. It's impossible for you to believe God. It's impossible for you to please God. Scripture tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we know, you'll know that somebody's Christ by their fruit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And we know what the deeds of the bodies are. If you you don't have to go now, but if you want to check it out, the deeds of the body, you read Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. You'll find out what the deeds of the flesh is, or deeds of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The flesh. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So you want to be glorified with Christ? You want to receive the inheritance? Be an heir of God? We have to suffer with him. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. That's what everything that we're going through right now. All the creation is just groaning and moaning. Not realizing that, look, you need a savior. The void that you have in you, you need God. You need Jesus Christ. That's why you're groaning and moaning. That's why you go to the liquor store every Friday night and get liquored up, drunk, high, trying to escape, and you wake up and do the same thing again. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. So not just the people in the world, but us also. We groan also. Because you're surrounded by a body of death. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So it's all for a reason. So all, everything that's going on is all that so God can bring us to him. Stop trying to find a solution out there. That's why people always church hopping, going from here and there. They're trying to find an answer. Sit down and get with and seek the Lord. That's where your answer is. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Not conformed to this world, but conformed to the image of his son. So he calls you out. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So it's not just good enough to be called by God. You want to be chosen. That means you have to go through whatever it is you got to go through to get purged or whatever it is that you have in you so that God can glorify you. That's the problem. Man trying to glorify himself. Darkness can only lead to darkness. Man void of God is only darkness. But yet you see man trying to glorify himself. Build up statues and big skyscrapers, you know, and plaster their name across the top of it. You still empty. You still missed it by a million miles. What shall we say then to these things? All these things we talked about today, what shall we say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So while the kings and everybody trying to get together to try to come against the Lord and his anointed, this says right here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If they come into God's elect, guess who they dealing with? You dealing with God. That's how God look at it. Whatever authority God sets up, you disrespect or go against that authority, you're not going against him. You're going against God. That's what he told Samuel. Samuel was all hurt up because the people was wanted a king. He said, no, don't. They ain't reject you, Samuel. Who are you? They rejected me. I set it up. Everything leads back to God. Everything. That's why we got to be careful in everything that we do. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So all this stuff that we went through today, everything that we're surrounded by, nothing, none of it can separate us from the love of Christ. It's all God's mercy. All of it is God's mercy. He'll even sacrifice us up for somebody else. Why shouldn't he? He sacrificed his son. I think it's only fair. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Everything that we're surrounded by, we're more than conquerors. That's why God sits in the heavens and laughs. That's why we should be down here laughing. He's going to have them all in derision. Y'all don't even know. Y'all setting it up for God's big showdown. This is exactly what he wants. That's why he's sitting in heaven laughing like, yeah, falling right for it. Uh-huh. Set it all up. Set it all up. Because he's about to burn it all up. And we just need to be ready. Because this we in here now, this not it. God got a whole nother level that it ain't even been exposed yet. The Lord said to himself, look, the things that's happened have never been seen before and it never be happening again. This is an excellent time to be a saint of God right now. Because we get to end all this. We get to end it. God saw us worthy enough to say, hey, I'll use you. Amen. You stand right there. You here? Uh-huh. You, right there. Praise and worship team, lead it. It's an honor, man. It's an honor to be called to God right now. An even greater honor to be chosen. Because you count it worthy to be used. To have Christ indwelling you, walking through you, talking through you, healing folks through you. You worthy. Because you're not in yourself, you out the flesh. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. He's summed up everything. Nothing can separate us. Like you just told us, if God is for us, who can be against us? You lose. I'm with God, you with the devil, you lose. And that's the delusion the devil ain't telling these folks that's following them. You know I do lose in the end, though. He don't tell them that. You see what I'm saying? So that's what we surrounded with, y'all. I just want to encourage everybody to just keep moving forward. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep wanting to know him more every day. You know, like I pray every day. Look, make me better today than I was yesterday. Time is of the essence at this point. And there's lost souls out there that's counting and waiting on us. They don't even know it yet. But they waiting on us. God's waiting on us. Just to, look, get yourself together and go forward. God will take care of the rest. So with that, we're just going to pray. And then, I don't know how to close, so, you know, let's just pray. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you for everything that you've done for us, Father. We're surrounded by all this madness, by all this perversion and sickness and illness and everything, Lord. But you also said in your word that we're also surrounded by a great host in heaven, Lord, looking down on us. The great witnesses of faith, Lord, from the hall of faith. If they can do it, we can do it too. We ask you, Lord, that you will help us every day. Give us a hunger and a desire, Lord, for your word. A hunger and a desire to want to know you better and to grow closer to you, Father. Help us, Lord, to extract our minds from this place. To do what's necessary, Lord, to kill this flesh. And to do whatever else is necessary also, Father, just to be a vessel that's meet and fit for you to use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.